Welcome to the Mad Trio Podcast. This week we have the California Pariah, Jonathan Charney, James the Fat Man Stevens, and Rob the Old Guy Charney.
Hey, I'm here.
Welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks. Again, welcome to the show. I'm glad to be welcomed. It's better than just me forcing my way into my own studio.
Well, I'll lead with something just because I did find this interesting. So, as of our discussion last week, guess what? Disney Plus cannot hold out against Simpsons fans. They have said it, huh? They will fix the problem.
So season 3, episode 1 will be back.
Yep.
So I guess, according to Disney, they were just overwhelmed.
No, well, what they did was they removed an episode that was very... Simpsons fan really enjoyed that episode.
Right.
And didn't matter that Michael Jackson was in it or not.
So this is...
That's where the whole world has gotten crazy PC, but okay, anyway.
Well, I mean, I think it's weird. Granted, he allegedly abused children, but he's also one of the greatest entertainers in history.
As I said last week,
of course,
if they take out Michael Jackson, then they need to remove every episode that had Bill Cosby in it.
Exactly.
That's all. And that's all my thing is.
My understanding is
the Devil and Max Devlin.
They're actually starting to do that. Netflix is starting to remove some of the Cosby stuff. So yeah, it is starting to happen. I do agree, though. How do you prosecute somebody who's dead? Because there's another suit going against the estate again, and there's no way for them. This is Michael Jackson's, by the way. There was another person that was supposedly abused by Michael Jackson, has brought another suit against the estate of Michael Jackson, trying to push it once again. And at this point, there's there can't be any due process. This is a civil suit, and so that's a little bit different the way they work that. But it just seems
how do you do a civil suit when the man himself's not capable of actually being there?
Well, I think a lot of people are bringing up that same point. I mean, it just seems like the man's dead. Let's put it to bed. I mean, I'm sorry. I mean, maybe I'm not sympathetic to the victims, so maybe that's not proper. That's probably not PC, and I'm probably going to get in trouble for that. It's just an opinion.
There's nothing. I don't think there's anything you can really do, because I think it's one of those things you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. And at the worst, I can't necessarily blame them for wanting a payday if Michael Jackson actually did something. Now, the problem is there's really never been any true proof. And I know there's that Michael Jackson HBO documentary, and everybody says, this is certifiable proof. Here's the problem. It's not a court case. It's not an actual Michael Jackson didn't have a jury of his peers actually say, yes, we believe Michael Jackson was a child toucher. That never happened. So the issue is everything is hearsay. Even if there's alleged evidence, he was never tried for it. Never truly tried for it. I think everything was an acquittal, if there was anything, if I remember correctly.
So was, I'm not even sure the whole estate's settled yet. I still think there's a whole bunch of stuff going on. I know Neverland is, I suppose, being sold off, I heard. And there was a lot of stuff going on there with that property. Huh. And there's supposedly somebody.
I didn't know that was still up.
I think all the rides are gone. A lot of things are broken down and all, but there's still a big building and everything.
They've been trying to get rid of it for a long time. I think the issue is if Michael Jackson died and never allegedly touched any children, it would have been sold in a heartbeat. I think the problem is Michael Jackson has permanently put an asterisk on that property. I would not be surprised if somebody bought it and demolished it.
And that's a possibility. My understanding, that's kind of going on anyway. A lot of the stuff is being torn down, the rides and all that stuff's gone. The zoo's gone.
Michael Jackson had a very, grotesque is not the right word, but he had a very different taste than most people, especially most people now.
And a lot of artists are. And... you know what? I wish there was a way to know definitively, one way or the other, did he do it, did he not do it? Is it, because it's a shame to put this on I think the guy was a musical genius. He was a dancing genius. He did some just incredible stuff.
Here's the thing. I think what it's going to come down to is people who like music are always going to love his music, because musically he was
a genius.
Yeah, I was going to say, if he's not a genius, he was really good. And so he
played an insane amount of instruments too.
I think what's going to happen is people who will look at the man and say they don't like the man. Musical people who are inclined that way are going to love the man for his musical taste and talent, and that's going to be it. It's like Roman Polanski and Weinstein.
Whoa. Well, okay.
Let me just put it.
I mean, I understand.
Hold on, time out. This is the reason I say that, because even Woody Allen, these guys, all three of them, have been accused of doing horrendous things. But there's so many people out there defending.
Has there anybody that boycotted Woody Allen movies? Are they being taken off of Netflix?
I boycott Woody Allen movies on principle.
Well, me too. I'm not really been a big fan. Yeah. But that's see, not the, my, I mean.
Well, my thing is the fact, I think what's going to happen is people are, for artists, I think people are able to overlook what they did. At least they used to. Now the questions, will they still be? And I think the people who are into it will still be able to overlook some of his peculiarities.
Yeah, but okay. So, but my point with the whole Disney thing was,
that's me, sorry.
Is they have, it's just very one-sided is what they did. They took an episode of The Simpsons, removed it because Michael Jackson was in it, but left, as of last week, what I looked up was 3 episodes with Bill Cosby. So my thing was if you're going to do it to one, do it to both.
Yeah.
Or don't do it at all. Don't put The Simpsons on at all.
I thought there was more than one episode with
Bill Cosby.
Michael Jackson.
Oh. There was more than one, but this was one that later on, I believe, they had some. But I don't know what seasons they have of that, what seasons they had that still had Michael Jackson, but I looked up the Bill Cosby ones and they had that season in there and they had that one with Bill Cosby.
Albert, he was in, there was a movie he did for Disney back in the day called The Devil and Max Devlin, and Disney, from what I've always heard, promised they'll never release that. So,
but my point is this.
So he's convicted.
But my point is this, is why even do that? Okay. Yeah. The guy is a terrible human being now that we look at it. But he is Bill Cosby is who I'm speaking of right now. He is a fantastic actor. And there's a lot of movies and television that a lot of people enjoyed for many, many
decades.
And I don't think that we should just throw all that away, but we put it and say he was a terrible human being.
I think what's going to happen, at least for the short term, with the new woke generation, I think Disney and all these other people are going to have to be careful, because I think they're perpetually have to be worried of having some sort of lawsuit. So Disney probably for them did the right thing. Now, why that episode? Because early Simpsons episodes are fairly obscure unless you're a fan, because I don't think they show them at all.
No, not anymore.
So I do think that's interesting. I don't know. I'm kind of curious to see what happens. And you talk about Netflix and Disney Plus. The next Netflix library currently has 5,800 titles available for U.S. subscribers. Disney Plus is hovering below 800. So that was one thing people are saying, this is why Netflix is better, because Disney Plus only has 800 titles.
Well, Disney Plus is still working on it. Yeah. I'm sure they're going to be adding more and more and more as they go.
Well, see, hold on.
So we're off. We're off Simpsons, right?
Yeah, I was going to move on.
Okay, that's done. All right, we'll move along and...
Hold on. The reason why I'm saying that is because Disney announced Disney Plus quite a while ago, and I'm assuming because they have DVD rips and Blu-ray rips of a good portion of the movies, that you would think they would be on there. However, they do have obscure titles. I don't believe they're obscure, like The Ugly Dachshund that's on there. That I don't think anybody younger than me has actually seen.
Well, having a grandson that appears to like cartoons, I was able to put on Disney Plus older Mickey Mouse cartoons.
Now, I am curious.
Chip and Dale?
Well, yeah.
I'm
talking old. I'm talking older. I'm talking
about Willie.
Early, yeah.
Maybe not that far back, but you know, early 60s Mickey Mouse cartoons. I mean, where else do you see them? YouTube.
Only on, or during the holidays.
Now, one thing I am curious about with that is what cartoons are they going to release? Because they're cartoons that I have that I'm almost positive Disney will never actually release on there. Because Disney is very big into right now is, oh, it never happened. Look, there's proof. It never happened, right? You know?
Well, one of the ones that I pulled off the internet early on was the Donald Duck World War II propaganda one they had.
Oh, my.
That's a great one. Oh, my. That's a great one. But, you know, I knew that one at the time.
They did release
that. I had to grab that quick.
Yeah. All right, so that brings up a good question.
I have those, though. They released them in a steelbook.
Okay, so my question is, now that we're being so PC with everything, do those World War II cartoons, films, or whatever that used a disparaging term for the Japanese, all right, do those get pulled?
Yes. Yeah.
They're all pulled. So anything racist that used that.
Yeah.
So that's just like I discovered VJ Day.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, VJ Day was victory over Japan, right? You never hear about it anymore. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's completely gone. And I sent out a newsletter saying Happy VJ Day, and of course I'm not very PC, but
how many people unsubscribed from your
surprisingly
newsletter?
about a dozen.
That's it.
That's
not that
just
bad.
Under 1,000 people goes out. So, but still, I realized I believe that historical things still need to be historical. I'm also against removing statues. That may depict, unfortunately, something that somebody's going to be offended of, because I believe we need to learn from history.
God, I wish you were here when Ryan was bitching at me for believing the same thing.
Well, you know, I think, I'll tell you who really brings it to the forefront, being real honest with it, is the Polish people. The Polish people have preserved the concentration camps to such a point. They're sacred grounds. You know, you go there, you respect what's happened there, you witness what's happened there, you learn about history there. A tour of those concentration camps should be done for everybody today, because, you know, there's all these doubters and all these people that say, no, it never happened. Holocaust never happened. None of this happened. The Polish people have preserved those. And I got to give them a shout out to say, hey, good for you. Because unlike the rest of the world that wants to knock everything down, they're willing to learn by history. They never want to see that repeated again.
Yeah. I think part of it is this really weird, and I don't understand it, probably because at this point I'm closer to being an old guy than I am a young guy, is the fact this
that
weird
decades ago.
this weird culture of as being this woke generation, I don't understand, is because everything, what was it, if it's racist, bad, or evil, or appears to be, we need to remove it and delete it, and instead of going, hey, hold on. Instead of generating a conversation, instead of doing something, these people get so offended. It reminds me of those old TV shows that had Southern ladies, and they're fanning their face. They're saying the vapas. They're exactly like that, because they're so oversensitive about something. And I'm not saying being oversensitive is bad, but when you decide to assault Chico, I'm talking to you, a college Republican, because the dude's Republican, therefore he's racist, you're a little out of touch with adult society. And that's the thing I don't get, is it seems today's society is lockstep, and yes, I chose that word carefully, of being into censorship. If it's not your opinion, it's the wrong opinion, therefore, I'm going to hurt you. So, you know, if you're young and you're listening to it, read what Nazis did, read what the Soviets did, hell, read what the Chinese government is doing to fucking Muslims right now.
So, one of the things that really has me mystified are the anti-gun Jewish groups.
That has me shocked.
All right?
Yeah.
Being Jewish, I'm allowed to say this. I'm going to say this. You guys are out of your minds. Look what happened in Germany in the late 1930s when they came knocking to the doors. Registration first, confiscation next, and then the Holocaust, right? They couldn't defend themselves. They couldn't do anything. And then they're, you know, oh, gosh, guns are bad. We got to take them all. I'm going, did not history teach you anything? Did you lost of all your family not teach you anything? I mean, I don't get it, but boy, that's another rant for another day.
So
but.
There's, yeah, there's so I'm doing a quick and dirty Google search for Jewish gun groups. So here's here's a couple that came up. Just
pro
let you know.
Gun groups or anti gun
groups? Pro gun groups.
All right.
So it's Jews for the Preservation of Firearm Ownership. Now I don't know anything about these groups, but I'm assuming they're not hate groups, because honestly, I haven't met a whole lot of Jews that are hateful, to be honest.
JDL.
Yeah, I'm kind of going to say it's John.
John wasn't around. For that one, I was.
Jews for the Preservation of Firearm. There's a couple of them on this if you're interested.
There are.
So the other thing I'm going to call out is just for minority groups, check out the Pink Pistol if you're gay and you want to be into firearms.
Absolutely.
They're a huge group. San Francisco, Los Angeles, the two groups that I'm aware of. There's probably more, but those are the two biggest ones I'm aware of. So check them out.
Okay. Where were we? I got, sorry.
Censorship.
I pulled this up. Yeah, censorship.
But you had something you were going to bring up.
Oh, it's totally off what we've been talking about before, but I was having to be watching the football game last weekend. And I'm going to read this little blurb from the NFL so it explains it exactly. And you got to witness it to really see it. But so an NFL spokesman said that the league found no evidence to support allegations that Steelers quarterback Mason Rudolph used a racial slur towards Browns defensive end Myles Garrett just prior to the fight at the end of last weekend's game. The final resulted in Garrett's indefinite suspension without pay, which the NFL upheld on Thursday, and he wants to appeal this again. Now, if you watch the game, okay, this, you see Garrett. They get into a bit of a scuffle, which they do. Football is an aggressive game. That's part of the whole thing, right?
Like a kerfuffle?
Well, as they're battling and everything, this guy rips off the quarterback's helmet, pulls it off his head. They're in fighting and turns around and uses it as a weapon and hits the quarterback right on top of the head. Right on top of the head with the helmet.
Wow.
So, fortunately, was not injured.
Wasn't it the quarterback's helmet?
Yes. Yeah. His helmet was ripped off and used against him.
Oof.
So, fortunately, and you know, this is not a sports show. We really don't talk sports here, but it's kind of interesting to watch that. If you get a chance to watch it back, watch it, because if you haven't watched the sports programs on all the network shows, good, John's getting to see it now. It was quite violent. And I understand getting in the heat of the moment. I have no problem with that. I understand playing football. I understand being aggressive. But I think that I really do believe that went a little too far, and I think the NFL agreed on it. And
that was a
I have
so
to
he's had two hearings on it already. He had an immediate suspension. Then on Thursday, the NFL upheld their suspension after reviewing it again numerous times and interviewing everybody. And the gentleman that did it, Myles Garrett, doesn't want to take responsibility for his actions and is appealing it again.
I don't understand. I mean,
even in the
it's cut and dry as far as you can
see. If you watch the video, it's cut and dry. And
even the Raiders during the 80s Raiders would have been, hey, you went a little too far.
Well, so obviously this is a guy that regrets what he did in the heat of the moment. Okay. And I think all of us can probably say maybe we've done something in the heat of the moment we regret. Unfortunately, in this situation, he's representing the NFL as an NFL player.
Yeah.
And is getting NFL money. And, you know, maybe you shouldn't do things like that, because I bet your sponsors won't be with you very long either.
Yeah. And just to be one of these guys who's kind of tired of these so-called sports heroes that turn out to be thugs is – get a job. You were playing a game for a living, and you were getting paid a lot of money for it, which, by the way, sounds like a fun gig. Hey, tough luck. Go do what everybody else has to do for a living, because now your ass ain't going to play in the NFL, because I wouldn't let you. And unlike Tebow and unlike Colin Kaepernick, you're too big of a risk.
Yeah, I don't know what this gentleman's going to be able to do in sports at all. A lot of guys go on and become a college coach or, even go into high school coaching. And after their careers are over, then that's gone.
depending, the only thing I could think of is depending on how knowledgeable, how good he is, I could see him going to a college, maybe not a top-rated college. Maybe he could go to be like a sports guy in some very obscure network. He still has some choices, but I think what's going to happen is he has some major PR to do, especially because the fact that he could have given this guy a concussion if he didn't get a concussion. I mean, this is past.
I was watching it, and I got to say, the quarterback kind of like he took the hit, put his hands up, and then fell. So I don't think he got hit as hard as he was pretending. But, you know, in the slow motion, it did look like he got a pretty good hit on his head.
I can tell you for a fact that having had numerous concussions, I won't say how, but you don't often react to it instantly.
Yeah, I could see that. Okay. But, you know,
unless you're absolutely knocked out. So
that's what I would expect with the hit.
And don't forget, these guys were jacked up. Their adrenaline was flowing. The fists were going. Everything was, you know, typical NFL to a degree.
Well, if you know anything about wrestling, I watched a thing with WWF wrestlers, and they were reviewing one of their matches. And during one of the during this one scene, they paused it and said, "Man, did you see that?" They rewound it. Said what? Said that knocked me goofy. That right there was a concussion. So it seems like, from what little I know, he could have gotten concussion.
And but does that really matter? I don't even think that's the point.
Well, I think
I mean,
that's the cherry on top of the ice cream.
Yeah. I'm at my point. I'm thinking we might have a guy that's a little bit out of control, who's willing to push the envelope.
Yeah,
I mean, let's face it, NFL's a violent game. And it's designed to be that way. So normally I have no problems. Everybody's padded up and helmets are going and fists are flying.
Yeah, but to be beat with a helmet.
Yeah. But to have your helmet ripped off your head and then used back at you as a weapon, I think went just a little too far.
I want to say this. Now, I don't know. You didn't kind of state it in there. Is there any actual assault charge being brought up against him? Because as far as I'm concerned, that's a full-on assault charge that he could sue the guy for.
So that was some of the commentators on the big networks have brought that up. Is that a possibility? And we don't know what he may be looking at down the road. I don't know. I don't know what's going on now. I haven't heard. Will a prosecutor in that county or state or whatever where he's at, will he look at that and say, "Hey, I believe this is
arrestable offense"? Now, I've watched a lot of football games. I've seen a lot of bad hits. I've seen a lot of hits that were personal from one player to the other. That's the first time I will say that was a full-on personal assault.
Well, what are they,
that could be a criminal charge?
Couple things.
What I've seen some pretty bad hits, but that falls
into it, I think.
So a couple of things. What do they do during hockey fights and then fights in baseball games where they clear the bench and there's fist fighting.
So hockey is famously violent,
yeah,
which a lot of people forget, and most of the time they rip off their protection anyway and go to it.
Yeah,
and surprisingly enough, I think if you look back in, and we're actually Googling it, some of these people have been charged with assault.
Well, when was the last time either of you have ever watched Happy Gilmore?
I hate that
movie. Now, the joke about that movie is that he was a hockey player.
Yeah.
And he got banned from hockey because he ripped off his ski and went to go stab somebody with it. Yeah. So that's kind of the joke with hockey, is that it's kind of close to that violence.
It is.
And I have.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, football, you're not known for ripping your helmet off or ripping an opponent's helmet off. Yeah. And beating the other person with
it. Or what about baseball, which is right up there with golf about the amount of excitement level. But I have.
It's kind of fun when the bench is clear and everybody's in it. It's a big pile. It's everybody's socking
every
which way.
I have yet to ever see that live in a baseball game.
So
I have.
I have a what if. So what if during the scramble or whatever you call it, what if.
Which sport are we talking about?
Well, football.
Okay. Well.
Well, you know, the scrimmage, or what do you call when they get together and they hit
skirmish.
Each other? What do you call? Wrong.
we're just throwing names out at you now, John.
Well, I'm trying.
We're trying to help you out here, John.
I mean, the prayer beforehand.
Hey, skirmish. Go ahead.
I'm going to turn you all off. So, because I'm trying to describe it for the audience, so it's kind of hard to describe a football game to an audience. So I'm saying, you know, whatever, when they're hitting, what if the quarterback did say, you enter, get off of me, or et cetera, use whatever alliteration you want, and, you know, this the gentleman just got overheated for good reason and just overreacted. Granted, he overreacted poorly, but if that actually happened, and somehow if they have proof, should anything happen to the guy, the quarterback who said it? Now, should he get in trouble, or should it fly because, hey, he just said a word?
Let me go back a little bit in history with football when you look at the linemen. So the linemen are famous. You don't hear mics down there. And you know why you don't hear mics for the linemen?
They took a lot of crap.
They are famously trying to antagonize the other linemen to jump.
But enough to use.
And maybe it's not as bad now as it used to be, but at one time that was a famous way of getting somebody hot and, you know, get them to jump and get a false start going or offsides or whatever it may be. And so they still to this day talk smack to each other all the time. Now, is it cleaned up? I assume so. But I'm going to go in and get into the lineman's line standards so I can hear what they say to each other.
Well, see, this is my question, though. If he did say in that moment of impact or sometime after that, if he let the N-word fly, is it somewhat justified? Now, hold on. There's two thoughts. I think if the guy just punched the quarterback or did something that was technically unnecessary roughness, I would say, okay, the QB or whoever hit, hold on, I'm not done, he deserved it. But because of what he did, I don't think he would have.
Did you watch the video I showed you?
Yes.
Did you watch it before he brought him to the ground?
Yes.
There was already a flag. He did assault the quarterback before he ripped the helmet off. There was already a flag on the play because he actually hit the quarterback I don't think the quarterback had the ball or something. It looked like it was kind of quick, but there already was type of flag on the play.
So, but was the flag on the play because, so here's my question. I didn't watch the game. Was it because of him or was it because of another part during the play?
Well, there was also another flag. There was multiple flags thrown before he ripped the helmet off, before he even put his hands on the helmet, because he was actually holding the quarterback down and dragging him down. You're not supposed to do that to a quarterback if he does not have the ball.
You're not supposed to do it in general.
Quarterbacks have an exemption. So
really?
They can't be, because they're very vulnerable. When they have the ball and they're getting ready to throw that ball, you can't do, helmet hits. You can't do below the knee breaks. Yeah. I mean, there's all kinds of things that you can't do the quarterback. You have to be careful.
I didn't think you could hold anybody down. Like once you hit him, I didn't think you could do anything more than
the quarterback still has the ball.
Yeah, you take him down. It's for a sack. Yeah,
yeah. If the quarterback still has the ball and he's taking him down to the ground, you can still try to get the ball out of his hands for a fumble. Now but the way he took him down was a full on foul. That was where it should have stayed.
I want to see.
He could have punched him, kicked him.
I want to find that whole play because I'm kind of curious what happened. No, because not seeing it and not being a giant sports fan, just by the clip, granted, being hit in the head, that's poor sportsmanship at its best. But I'm kind of curious what led up to that. Now, if what James and Rob say is true, then yeah, the dude's a scumbag. Now, if the guy just got super heated and just wasn't adult enough to somehow let it go, that at least I understand. Now, he deserves the repercussions of whatever the NFL decides, but at least I understand it a little bit more than the dude was just a moron, the QB didn't say anything and just popped and hit the dude.
Well, now, from how heated the guy was, there was obviously some personal nature going on. Now, but the thing is in any court case, you go from verbal to physical. Whoever went to physical first is the one who is going to be prosecuted the hardest.
No, you're right.
And that's just cut and dry. That's really how it is.
But I'm curious.
I didn't see the quarterback even try to punch the guy or injure him in any way. Probably because he was trying to keep his damn helmet on, but, you know.
But the other thing, far as getting heated, how do you know the guy's girlfriend before the game broke up with him or did something? So this was my wondering. Never know, but my curiosity is what actually happened. Has the QB actually said anything?
Yeah. So that's what I want. The NFL is taking this very seriously, and they've interviewed everybody, and they've reviewed the play multiple times, fast forward, backwards, forwards.
Aren't the QBs mic'd?
So, yes, but that's privileged information between the team.
The team could release that, though, if it's actually recorded.
I don't think it's recorded. I think it's just mic'd.
Yeah, I think James is...
I wonder if that's...
Right. I don't know for a fact. I don't know either.
Yeah, I don't know either. It could easily be recorded to be reviewed later, I suppose, but...
Because
I don't know.
That would be the proof in the pudding. Because I know we're getting a little down and deep in the weeds here, but I'm really curious on what happened, because you don't see this often in the NFL. In a violent game, you don't see guys rip off each other's helmet and try to beat them with it.
And I got bored with the NFL because they didn't let them play like I used to enjoy, which back in the 80s and 90s, and I kind of got bored with it, but I mean, seeing stuff like that, it's kind of like, well, you guys were a kiddie game for so long that I don't understand why it's getting to the point with this.
It's been a good season this year.
I've heard from people. I haven't really watched.
It really brought the NFL back. I think my whole idea really needs to be done, though. I think what they need to do is get rid of all the padding and just give them back the leather helmets, and you're going to see a lot less injuries.
Well,
to be honest with you, you know what? When they were hitting each other with no padding, they didn't hit each other as hard as they hit each other now.
Well, if you look at Australian rules football, I forgot the actual name of
rugby.
Rugby.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say.
They don't have as much.
They really don't have much padding at all.
No, they have no padding. They have an injury rate, but it isn't.
Not as much.
When the injuries occur, they don't seem to be quite as serious. I mean, boy, you hit some of these low hits. Tib fib breaks. Some of the things have been going in the NFL have just been horrible.
I've seen
some of the replays of them, and they're pretty bad. There was one last season that was really bad.
There was an Aussie footballer. What was the sport's name again?
Rugby.
Rugby player years ago. This is probably 20 years ago. Played a couple of games for an NFL team, and he was making fun of it because he's got to get sacked until he got hit by a 450-pound lineman. And so I think that's the one thing they're going to do is I actually agree. I think put them in rugby gear, but it also means these linemen are going to have to lose weight. And so it's not going to be...
Not going to be sumos hitting you?
Well, yeah, because if you notice, all these guys are bulked up. I mean, even in Terry Bradshaw's day, they weren't as big as they are now. True. Refrigerator Perry got kicked out of league for being fat.
They were afraid he was going to drop dead in the field. It was the whole reason.
But have you seen some of these linemen, though? Some of them are bigger than he was ever.
It seems that, I don't know, maybe we're going to other places to get our linemen these days, but it seems that the human body is exceeding its maximum weight limit by getting bigger and bigger people.
I wonder how many Samoans actually play in the NFL. I'd love to know that.
There used to be a lot. I don't know anymore, but there used to be quite a few.
So we're going to change topics a little bit, and something that I find fascinating. This is from the Electronic Frontier Foundation, EFF, by the way. Check them out. They're helping to protect your rights. Victory.
Online rights.
Still rights.
They don't protect my rights necessarily.
Victoria, victory. Pennsylvania Supreme Court rules police can't force you to tell them your password. Up until then, they could act. Up recently, they could force you. Pennsylvania Supreme Court.
They're going to force you. They could put you in jail and say you don't get out until you tell me your password. But what are they going to do? Pull your tongue out?
Do what New York City police did to Kevin Mitnick, is basically throw him in jail without really any reason.
True.
So Pennsylvania Supreme Court issued a forceful opinion today holding that the Fifth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution protects individuals from being forced to disclose the passcode to their devices to the police. In a 4-3 decision, the Commonwealth versus Davis, the court found that disclosing a password is testimony protected by the Fifth Amendment's privilege against self-incrimination.
We're the three. Can we lynch them?
Amen.
Just going to say, I mean, that's kind of...
Are we not going to be able to use the Israeli iPhone crack that's out there that the FBI now uses as a regular basis to crack iPhones?
The only issue with that is Apple, there was one of the things the FBI said, Apple got rather pissed and they fixed whatever loophole. So it's interesting to see what's going to happen, because, you know, Apple was really pissed at people doing that. I mean, tremendously pissed.
Hacking the iPhones?
Yeah, because
Apple got upset?
Yeah, because if I remember correctly, FBI said, oh, we cracked it because of this, and Apple said, oh, yeah, and sent out an update very shortly after that broke that hack. Apple has the appearance of being right now the company that wants to protect your rights. Now, if that's true or not, mileage may vary. I'm not quite sure if I'd really trust anybody. I'm looking at you, Facebook.
So what we need is rules as to when you can and cannot break a phone.
So, well,
right? I mean, is that what we're talking about?
Well, we've had this discussion before with terrorists having phones, right, and right, right. People saying, well, you know, in that situation, that should be an exemption. But then it gets down the slippery slope of at what point do we draw the line on a terrorist?
Well, cause is you have to have a reasonable doubt in order to do that. If a cop has actual probable cause, not some, hey, you look Middle Eastern, let me see your phone, then I think the courts will be okay with it to some degree.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, guys.
Hold on.
Most of the time, the way the hack, I'm sorry, the way they break a phone is under a court order.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to have a judge that makes a decision.
And hopefully the judge knows anything.
All right, well, hopefully is informed enough to look at things. And I think this could very well be something that we could be seeing all the way up to the Supreme Court at some point, as to when you can and cannot, what's the term, jailbreak a phone, however you want to call it. You know, so if you don't give your password, if you don't voluntarily give your password, are you going to be held in contempt? More than likely, that's already happened, not watching every law thing that's been coming across.
This,
but
this actually, I bet it has. This actually says something, if you hold on 1 second. So this ruling is vital because this is, by the way, this is from the EFF. This ruling is vital because the courts must account for how constitutional rights are affected by changes in technology. We store a wealth of deeply personal information on electronic devices. The government simply should not put individuals in a no-win situation of choosing between disclosing a password and turning over everything on the device, or instead of defying a court order to do so, mm-hmm. which is talking about Rob is saying.
There you go. All right, well, so it's something I think we're going to be seeing continuously.
More and more, yeah.
Yeah.
And I James has a good point, is if it's a terrorist, granted, in theory, constitutional rights don't apply to people who aren't Americans, but that's...
Well, wait a minute, you're forgetting American terrorists.
Yeah, so that's...
That's what I meant.
We've already got our homegrown terrorists.
Yeah, so that's...
Here.
So if you're talking about homegrown terrorists, the question is, what do you do? And I think first of all, this was needed. Because the problem with modern technology is law enforcement and the government, since there's no rules saying they can't, therefore they can. And so the FBI, all these other law enforcement agencies have been knocking on Facebook, MySpace, Twitter, these people's doors, and saying, give us all this data. If you don't believe me, look what they were doing to AT&T. So this is something that needs to happen to balance the books. Now, the question is, every right also has a counterbalance. You can't always use the Fifth Amendment for certain things. I mean, look it up. You'll see what I mean. The question is, where's the counterbalance on this? Because there always is.
Okay, so let's just say... let's throw an old guy thing out there. What about Timothy McVeigh? What if he was out there, got picked up by the FBI? Let's just say they didn't have a court order to search his phone.
They can't search his phone.
But what if there's a bomb that he has sent that they know it's from him, but they don't have a court order?
They're violating
time and ticker.
Unfortunately, it'd be violating their constitutional
exactly.
right. But that's something law enforcement has always run up against.
But if they have definitive evidence, they're waiting on a judge. I mean, he falls under Fifth Amendment.
He does.
Now, if we have somebody coming over from Afghanistan, just over here for a visit, he has a phone. Do we still have the same thing to do that, or do we have to go to their embassy? There's a lot of different things that I'm saying. Like, there's two different types of terrorists that we can have. We can have local, and intercontinental.
Well, if he was from Afghanistan, they already downloaded his phone on the border.
Yeah, but I mean, there's things that they can hide. There's files. There's certain things that you can password protect that you can't really access.
You know, you got to.
There's a lot of different things. That's why I'm saying.
Out there called the NSA.
But that's what I'm saying to you.
The
NSA
says we gather everything.
Yeah. So I'm just saying that, you know, like you said, there's going to be a lot of different instances that this is going to come out to be, and there's not going to be one blanket answer.
But that's the same thing with using a Fifth Amendment in a court and saying, I declare the Fifth, Your Honor, is it's always a sticky situation.
But if you say I declare the Fifth, they have your phone.
It's the problem. I like the fact it applies to technology because your phone, which is your technology, is basically you incriminating yourself. So I do like the fact that there is some digital Fifth Amendment, because otherwise, what's stopping the government from doing what China does, tracking your every move and saying, oh, you smoke, we're doing this, and then you drink, and you're doing this. And it's a slippery slope. And you're giving me funny looks, but human nature, it's a slippery slope because, oh, this is allowed. I can do this. Guess how I know that? I've got a 2-year-old. You'd be amazed how clever 2-year-olds are to get what they want. That by itself is human nature. So you need these to stop human nature from happening. And those in power automatically want to stay in power.
Yeah.
So that brings up the whole Big Brother situation, right? I mean, like we used to talk about, I mean, go read Ayn Rand's Fountainhead, you know, Orwell's 1984.
I was waiting for you to get there.
You know, there's all these, there's all of these things that were, you know, that was addressed 100 years ago when they started talking about stuff. And to this day, we're still talking about how much intrusion do we allow government to come into our lives. And, you know, now that we're all walking around with these smartphones that all have GPSs in them,
yeah.
The fact is,
GPS, but I'm still not under the thing that, you know, under the blindness of saying that they don't know where I'm at.
Well, see, here's the thing. You're always between.
They exactly. probably don't
work. You're exactly. always, yeah. technologically speaking, you're always between 1 to 3 towers. They could easily, because they can go to AT&T, Verizon, find your IMEI number.
Triangulation.
Yeah, so they sure. The only way to not be tracked is just not have a cell phone. I was working in a big box store. Had a gentleman come get a pay-as-you-go phone and said, until the certain president is out of office, I'm going to do this. And I hated to break his heart. I really wanted to say, it's like, you do know they can track you, right? Simply by having a cell phone, they know where you are. That's stop kidding yourself.
Burner phones are intentionally trackable.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So,
so that,
because that's what criminals use. Oh, it's going to burn.
They can always track you. But I am happy. That somebody's doing something. Now, it does seem that only the Democrats, to some degree, care. There's a woman running in Boston, Massachusetts, by the name of Brianna Wu. She's on the Leo Laporte's Tech TV, Twit TV occasionally. And she's one of these, she's a Democrat, but she wants to elevate the level of knowledge of Congress, which is something I'm for, because a lot of these guys, you know, they were making fun of Strom Thurmond, and they're their age.
You're talking about... technology knowledge?
Yeah.
Like
technology knowledge. Like the Fifth Amendment should apply to technology. Stuff like that. She has some interesting stuff, she says.
I think if there's a way to educate them as to what's real and what isn't, I think one of the biggest things is Hollywood has made some things that really aren't quite there yet, shall we say. Everybody think, oh, it's easy. We can do this and we can do that. And it's not as easy as everything seems. Anyway, so if we can educate congressmen and senators to understand, if they want to be educated, then I think that's a good thing. I don't know that that's a platform to run on, but okay.
The only reason why I say, granted, some of her other policies aren't kind of my cup of tea, but given the fact there's somebody who's running for office who wants to protect you, I'm for. Now, I'm a big fan of the EFF because honestly, the government wants all their information from you. I mean, it just, I don't know. It worries me. Like, I guarantee the government is involved in Facebook somehow because they were allegedly in one of AT&T's major back ends with a secret room siphoning information off their network. So if the government did that, what else are they doing? Well, and this isn't conspiracy. That was fact, folks.
The NSA pretty much has total right to do whatever it is they want to do. And their whole job is to gather as much data as they can from everybody in any way. And then they use all this. They have ways of looking for keywords, shall we say.
Yeah.
Right? That supposedly set them off. Of course, then the biggest argument is going back as to encryption. And PGP was such a big issue, and we're going to really go back into the whole thing where the government said, wait a minute, you can't use an encryption tool because we can't break into that encryption. And so the government is basically forcing the encryption companies to allow a backdoor key so that the government can go in and get your encrypted files. And so that's been something that's been actually pretty quiet. It's funny that you mentioned it, and that brought it back up to me in my mind. Been pretty quiet for quite a while because 128-bit encryption was very difficult for even supercomputers to crack, and now with encryption that's going beyond that, that's interesting. I wonder where the government stands now.
They
on
don't
that.
Like it. By the way, folks, if you want to keep your files safe, keep them offline.
You mean you want to store everything in the cloud?
No, I hate the cloud. There are some things that I keep in the cloud just because it's useful, but no, I don't really keep any personal information in the cloud.
Oh, I bet you're some there. I bet you don't even know.
It's probably because it's something I posted on Facebook. I mean, if you take a look at it, Facebook, James' Android phone, they're all reporting. Hell, Android's one of the most insecure platforms on the planet right now.
I wonder how well the IRS really does in keeping everything, because everything's gone electronic. All your filings of all your incomes.
Trying to figure out this one. So, but we do, there's the Mexico State Data Center that has a big old server out there that, I mean, there's conspiracy theorists that are all saying it's the NSA keeping all of our information that they get off our phone, Facebook, social media, computers, everything. And they store it in this bunker out there, basically, that you're not allowed to get within a couple miles of them. But, you know, for me, in that sense, that seems a bit conspiracy theorist. But I'm not also stupid enough to say that they're not doing that. You know, to some extent, I do believe that they are doing it. But,
you know, what the
you know, I mean, it's the whole thing of the joke of, you know, you go to a public library and, you know, check out the Anarchist Cookbook. You all of a sudden end up on a government watch list.
I was going to say, you know what the weird thing are about conspiracy theories? Is they have a tendency, some of the weirder ones have a tendency to be true.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, for example, I was reading about the Tuskegee experiments the other day.
Oh, yeah.
That was, I remember hearing about, oh, that's a conspiracy. It didn't happen. So there's some strange shit that our government has done. They sprayed.
Well, the LSD experiments that they did too.
They killed a bull elephant with LSD.
Oh.
There was, they sprayed
Tesla or was it
Edison?
Edison. I was trying to remember which one that electrocuted.
He was showing the dangers of
electricity.
By the way, it was Westinghouse and Edison were going around,
around
the country electrocuting animals.
Not one of our better periods.
And if you see what else there was, I forgot somewhere over the U.S. I don't remember particularly where they, you know, United States government was dropping a flu.
LA.
Oh.
They were dropping some sort of flu thing, I guess L.A., over the population.
Yeah. I believe I was sprayed.
Oh, really?
I think that's what's wrong with me now.
The government. The government has also lost
a bit of Agent Orange.
Yeah. As a kid.
The government. Yeah, I was going to say one more.
Go ahead. They were experimenting with how flus got spread, and they supposedly flew over parts of Los Angeles and sprayed.
You can trust the CDC.
Oh, absolutely. And this is way pre-CDC.
And the government has lost multiple nuclear weapons across the United States and didn't bother to tell anybody.
Would you? By the way, we think we lost this bomb over here. I mean, come on.
Well, it's just there's,
if you're digging in your backyard, just be careful. Looks,
where it's just like, you
get
know,
your
like,
homemade Geiger counter.
And well, some of them were lost during practice flights when they decided you had to fly with a live nuclear weapon.
Right. Well,
so it's just the government
during the Cold War, most of these B-52s out there flying were flying with actual bombs. I mean, no matter what, practicing
so,
or not.
So all governments have a very suspicious background. So let's just say that, you know.
Well, you
if
know,
it sounds weird, it may be true.
I gotta say, I would trust our government a little bit more than I would trust, you know, the China. Nazi Party in 1938 or the USSR for certain periods of time. You know, I mean,
certain periods of time.
Yeah, you know, it's
the czars were a little bit iffy sometimes.
That wasn't Soviet Russia.
We are pretty like, oh gosh, Lenin and Stalin were just amazing.
What about Mussolini? He was a fun one.
Oh, he was a wannabe.
True. You do have a point there. He was a wannabe compared to some.
Yeah.
But
I don't know. You know, there is just that level of I want to be able to trust my government, and I think we're kind of lucky here in the United States.
I
to agree, we can feel fairly good compared to some other countries that we could name.
Oh, yeah.
South America and Asia. And
yeah, well, it's
parts of Europe that you just don't really want to.
Is it Ecuador right now that's having a bunch of water issues?
There's all kinds of. Venezuela's having a big thing. Brazil's got their issues going. Venezuela.
I think it's Venezuela is the one I'm thinking right now, of with the water.
Yeah,
that they actually own the water.
So
all of the water.
All of the water.
So I found technically, are you talking about the U.S. government?
No, I'm talking about Venezuela.
Oh, because technically U.S. government uses So here's a couple of things. According to this website, these are the top 10 government conspiracies that reveal to be true. The CIA developed a heart attack gun. Basically, it's a small poison. Looks like a heart attack.
Yeah.
The CIA spied on and controlled the American media. The CIA Project Mockingbird spied on members of the Washington Press Corps in 63, 72, and 73 and paid journalists to publish CIA propaganda, wiretapped their phones, and monitored the offices to keep tabs on their activities. The U.S. government poisoned alcohol during Prohibition, which is true. Also killed a lot of people, or a number of people. U.S. Air Force Laboratory researched the possibility of using pheromones as a weapon. That's true. Ridiculous. The gay bomb, for example. Look it up. It's really funny. There's also another one where they tried to give Hitler estrogen. The U.S. government stole dead bodies for radioactive testing, which is true. After dropping nuclear bombs in Nagasaki and Hiroshima, the United States government stole parts of dead bodies to measure the effect of nuclear fallout. This is one I've never heard of. President Woodrow Wilson's wife ran the country after he suffered a stroke. Did you hear that one? Mm-hmm. The CIA tested LSD and other hallucinogenic drugs in America.
Yep.
The Dalai Lama was a CIA agent. Talk about the most peaceful CIA agent in history. The FBI spied on the Beatles band member John Lennon and tried to get him banned from the country, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
They really hated Yoko Ono's albums.
Somebody likes him?
There's got to be somebody.
Yoko likes him.
This is funny. Canada developed a gaydar machine in the 60s.
Gaydar.
About sexual orientation, the Canadian government hired a university professional to develop a machine that could detect the orientation in federal employees, resulting in a machine measuring the pupil dilation, perspiration, and pulse in response to same-sex pornography. Sorry, I can't get through this sentence. Those testing were told the machine's purpose was to rate stress levels, but the truth was the government wanted to remove its gay employees.
Boy.
So basically, it was a lie detector.
I guess.
Canadian version of a lie detector.
Yeah. Hey.
So, hey, like, you know, the reason I brought that up is some strange things happen to be true.
Yeah, just because it sounds like it's impossible doesn't make it impossible, right?
Yeah. If you think back in the 60s, 50s, where they were saying that, they're giving people LSD. At that time, you're probably thinking, or most people were probably thinking, you're making it up.
No.
That's just too far-fetched.
I think there are all kinds of things that we don't know.
Well, I mean, well, if you really want to throw it out there, what about Roswell?
Well, hey.
You know, I mean, if we're going there, yes. Battle of Los Angeles.
It goes back and forth all the time.
You know, yeah, like there's a lot of things out there that, you know, they sound far-fetched.
Wasn't Timothy McVeigh, the Unabomber, one of those guys, wasn't he involved in one of the CIA's mind control experiments?
Yeah, they claimed that. I don't think it was Timothy. It was Ted Kaczynski. Thanks. Yeah. So it was Ted Kaczynski, supposedly. I never found anything that ever confirmed that.
Yeah, here we go.
He was a really smart
Kaczynski
man.
Kaczynski was the subject of the longest and most expensive investigation in the history of the FBI. Sorry.
Reading the article on the fly here.
It's Project. Darn it. There was psychological study.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of the project. Not off the top of my head.
Yeah, so.
Doesn't matter.
So I have heard that he was. That was one of the reasons they say that they actually broke him. And they said that was one of the reasons why he went nuts was because the government.
That was the post office.
I believe.
In the DMV.
Overlord. Darn it. I used to know the name.
I believe that the gentleman probably had mental health issues.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, they always say there's a fine line between genius and crazy.
But I mean, what he.
Maybe that's my problem.
What he did to stay off of their radar individual for how long he did was actually very impressive.
It was.
It was very impressive.
He was a smart man.
MK Ultra.
That's it. Thanks. You know, the one that I always find very interesting, and that one has been definitively proven, were people always saying, oh, the Nazis got us up to the moon. And with the release of Project Paperclip from the time, now we have definitive proof that, yeah, they are. And I do not fault Russia or the United States for going for the Nazi scientists, because they did things for the Nazi military program that were way more advanced than either of us.
Werner von Braun was the biggest guy.
He was a scumbag from everything I've read.
Oh, yeah. And we were willing, because of his genius and because of Kennedy's mandate that we need to get to the moon, to really look the other way with the guy and just he's totally free, do whatever you want, run these teams. Yeah, I mean, let's face it, he built, the Saturn V. It's his whole invention and the reason why we got there.
He was the one who was the innovator of the intercontinental ballistic missiles.
Yeah.
And I mean, for the time, the jump that did for the military development cannot be undermined.
There was one of the many programs that I watch, history-related programs, they were talking about just this, the fact that the USA actually won the war of the captured scientists.
Yes, we did.
We managed to get the brightest and the best
of what
the Nazis had.
Because none of them wanted to go to Russia.
Well, there's definitely something to that.
Well, I think if the Russians had actually gotten a hold of Werner, I don't think they would have let him go.
No.
Not at all.
No.
So,
it would have been like us saying the Russians coming out and saying, hey, would you just let us borrow him for a while so we can get something? No.
Yeah,
it would never have happened.
Yeah, the Russians, I'm sure he was on their list to get, and we got him first. So
yeah, there is some interesting stuff that's actually now being declassified still from World War II. It's coming out, and one of the shows I watched recently was just talking about just that, the race for the scientists.
Oh, yeah.
And how much that we actually managed to win that part.
Yeah, we won the rocket guy, and I can't remember. There was also another scientist the surgeon of Glasgow. Can't think of a name right now, but there, we got another one that was more in like the biological sense of it, of things. And he did a lot of stuff for CDC.
Well, it's also how we got a lot of our,
I can't remember his name off the top of my head.
Like how we got a lot of information. I think it was about like our hyperthermia was because of what the Japanese and Germans did. So a lot of the stuff we have is we gave a pass because a lot of these people wrote down all this information, what they did to people.
Yeah.
You know, as horrible as it is and was, fortunately, there was some good that could come out of it, but it's just baffles my mind and how inhumane humans can be to humans. It's just, I just don't get it. I don't understand it. It's just,
what comes part of me, so. Comes back around to like the Mickey propaganda films was the fact that the number one thing you do in war is dehumanize the enemy, because it's easier to kill somebody you think is a monster than you think of them. Hey, there's a Bob next door that I had dinner with last night.
It's true. It's not a good thing.
Most people aren't capable of of doing that. Hence the reason why, if you take a look, a lot of the veterans, a lot of them are pretty fucked up from some of their experiences.
Yeah,
not all of them, but a good portion of them are.
Well, I've had a number of older vets that are. The numbers are getting fewer and fewer, especially from World War II, that still to this day have a very, very difficult time forgiving, particularly the Japanese, for some of the things that were done to us as POWs in the hands of the Japanese. Are just incredibly inhumane. And they just have a very, very difficult time finally letting go of the whole thing, even 70 years later.
And, I
can understand it.
I don't know if the Japanese have ever apologized. I remember there was something they apologized for a number of years ago, but I don't think they've ever formally apologized for some of the stuff they did.
The war crimes they did? No.
Yeah, I forgot what it is. There's a, if I remember, I'll talk about it next week, because there's a camp or something with some of these experiments happened. Mm. I just don't remember what it was right now.
I think it's both, I want to say both the Russians and the Japanese, neither of them have apologized for what was done during World War II.
No.
So.
I've never heard of Russia, and I've never heard of Japan apologizing for any of the treatment of our POWs or any of the Chinese that they also took and did a lot of horrible things to as well.
I don't think the Vietnamese have never apologized either.
Yeah.
Interesting enough.
But either of we, I don't know. We've apologized, haven't we, of some of the stuff we did to them?
Oh, I don't know.
You know, I was got to see the movie Midway. Oh. It just came out here. If you haven't seen it recently, just... I highly suggest you go to see it. And they did a very short section with Doolittle's Raiders, which they took the B-24s off the aircraft carrier and made our very first bombing.
By the way, that's freaking nuts.
I know. Yeah. Nobody thought it could be done. But Doolittle did it. And, of course, they had to launch early. They did not have enough fuel to actually make it all the way to China to land.
Yeah.
They all had to bail. And thanks to the Chinese, they rescued... majority of our pilots that had to bail out over China, but the Japanese killed over 250,000 civilians for helping the Americans.
Yeah.
They caught,
That's also something that we do forget about is what Japan did to China during that time.
Oh, yeah. That was unbelievable. Yeah. China won't forget it.
Yeah, no. Well,
Japan and China have been fighting for centuries, though. Those were old wounds.
But still.
Granted.
Still.
I mean, but the Japanese, they would capture U.S. pilots that crashed when they were doing bombing runs on their carriers, and they would grab them and throw them overboard with weights on them.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if the United States did anything like that. I've never heard anything, but I haven't looked into it. I know
being what it is.
I know we're not innocent.
In the heat of the moment, I mean, you see your buddy right next to you blown or chopped up or whatever, shot, killed, whatever. And, I could see people doing things that probably they wouldn't
think
they
would
ever be.
Yeah,
I mean,
moment,
I'm sure things have happened. Now, full scale, full military, the whole United States Army, we'd go out and march a bunch of people and mow them down and throw them in the ditches like the Nazis did. I don't think it happened.
No.
I don't think so either, but I've also never looked into it. So.
You know, they're... I think, I guess it was in, I don't think it was in Band of Brothers, but there was a section in one of those spots where, in one of the World War II movies that I've seen, where, they sergeants told some people to look the other way and they shot a few people.
Absolutely.
And I don't think that did not happen.
Yeah.
I think that very well could have happened because there was a lot of atrocities happened in World War II. That hopefully we don't see again as a human race.
There's the one scene, Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah, there's that one too. But there's another one that I remember that there was a pretty... from what I've heard, it actually happened.
It had two of them, but it
they lined up a bunch of Nazis and shot him.
Yeah,
it had to have happened. Just by like Rob said, it was just, it's human nature, and I don't see it not happening. I just don't think it would have happened as like on such an industrial size scale as it did for some other countries.
Yeah,
but realistically, you never know. I just don't think it had. I just dialed it.
Yeah, well, hopefully, I think your key there was on the scale. Would have been much larger. I'm sure we did some things and state driven.
Yeah, I mean, war is full of atrocities. One of my favorite lines about war is actually from the TV show MASH. It's with Hawkeye and Father McKay. And Father McKay said something as, you know, war is hell.
Yeah.
And Hawkeye says, you know, I think war is worse than hell. And Hawkeye said, Father McKay, he said, why do you say that, Hawkeye? Who goes to hell? Sinners, I believe. See, in war, you know, in hell, there's no innocence.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm butchering it. Take a look. But it's probably one of the most eye-opening quotes I've ever heard on any TV show was about how dangerous war is. Now, I've had friends of mine, and we're over time, but I've had friends of mine describe war, who have been in war, as hours of extreme boredom followed by moments of sheer panic.
Yeah.
And then
I think that's been the way it's always been. I mean, I think you can go back to the Spartans, and go back way back, and well, it's always been the case.
So I brought up this was, I can't think of the guy's name, but I talked about him a few episodes back, is the Swamp Fox from the Revolutionary War.
Mm.
Not a lot of history is taught about him, but when I was elementary, junior high, right around that era, I found a book that had a lot of his stories written in it. Mm. And I used to read them all the time. And the first time I read it, I went, yeah, I don't think I would ever want to be a red coat or a blue coat standing in front of a firing line of muskets. I think this guy has the right idea.
That's the Swamp Fox in Disney's TV show.
I was going to say that's not actually the Swamp Fox.
Yes, I know.
Anyways, but, you know, they credit him, the Special Forces,
Guerrilla
Green
tactics.
Berets. Yeah. They all credit their history back to him. Yeah. And he had guerrilla tactics. But, you know, like that was the thing. Like every time I've watched a movie or anything about the Revolutionary War, when they were standing and giving each other, you know, the honor of being standing in front of a line of muskets shooting 50 caliber balls of lead at you, I'm always like, I don't think I'd be down for that.
It was a different type of person, different time. If you've, and you know what, we're going way over, and I know we talked about this real quick. I've had the opportunity to walk on many of the battlefields, particularly for the Revolutionary War and in the Civil War. Both, and you get there and you look at it like Cemetery Ridge, and you look down because you're the Cemetery Ridge, it's high up, and you look down and you can't believe all the, you know, 50,000 men died coming up this hill.
Yeah.
And in a matter of an hour.
Yeah.
And it was like, how do you get somebody? You wouldn't get me marching out. Exactly. I'm sorry. I'm going to be a cook in the back when you're done. Come on, get you some chow. Because I'm not going to stand up.
Goes back to John's thing of, you know, hours of boredom. You march and march and march and march and march, and you get there, and your guy tells you to stand there. That I will be panicked. I will be panicked.
Yeah, well, you're supposed to have honor in war, right? That was the thing.
It also goes back to what I've told friends of mine about how do you win war, and about Afghanistan was, if you look at the American Revolutionary War, a bunch of ragtag morons, i.e. the United States, won a war against the most powerful standing military in the world at that time.
Yeah.
They did it in a way. They did something that they weren't used to. You do guerrilla tactics. You basically, the whole game is you make them play yours.
Right.
Yeah.
That's how you win.
Yeah.
So just a little, you know, little knowledge.
Yeah.
You make... That's the key thing to war, is you always keep somebody off foot. And is it a little cruel to say they're a bunch of morons? If you compare the military knowledge of what the Redcoats know and knew, the general during there was incredibly intelligent.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this is true, but I've heard he was one of the most intelligent generals they had at the time.
Who are you talking about?
The general, I don't remember his name, but the guy who ran the Redcoats against the Revolutionary Army. His name's escaping me at the moment. I should know this, but
Wellington?
Was that? Yeah. I've heard he was an incredibly intelligent man from the stuff
I've
heard.
Well, they had a number of incredibly intelligent men that were also highly in love with themselves and were
that
willing
helps.
To let their countrymen go ahead and die while they say, you go here, and you do that, and this is what we're going to do. But it's a
Benedict.
Whole thing.
Yeah. Benedict.
Well, we want to go back to the French Revolutionary War. Whole different situation, too.
But so, you know.
Are you done? Are we done?
Yeah, I was going to say.
It's a long time.
Any
I have an
comments?
Announcement I want to make. Oh, I just got an announcement. So I'm going to re-announce the Rob Charney Show is coming back on.
Awesome.
Not as the old guy tech, but we're going to be maybe going as the old guy. The show will probably, it's going to definitely start in December. I'm going to do some workup shows possibly before then. One of our very first guests for, I think, right around the Christmas time that we're going to have back in the studio is Sheriff DeAgostini of El Dorado County. And so we did a show in the beginning of 2019, and so we're going to do a year-end wrap-up go over all things law enforcement related in California in El Dorado County. So that'll be an interesting show, and we'll see. We're going to work on trying to get some more guests into it as well, and as well as just Rob's rants will probably be coming back as well. So,
well, awesome.
Yeah.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, for the California Pariah, the fat man, and the old guy.
And the old guy.
Thank you for listening.
Goodbye.
Next time.